You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to Heroes of the Horn, a Wheel of Time podcast. I am Sir Matt.
And I am Sir Ezra. And friends, we are back with a Wheel of Time Season 2 official behind-the-scenes look. And I got to say, I'm going to say out the gate here, I loved this. I actually loved this and thought it was high energy, and I just couldn't believe it. I kind of went into it like, Matt, you saw it first and said right to me, hey, got to go check it out. And I was blown away.
Actually, it is way more than I thought we were going to get, actually. Like, we thought we were just getting the stuff on the animated thing, which I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't even watch the animated stuff from the first round. It seems like the second round, by the way, is way going to be a much bigger deal. But again, whose bright idea was it to put this? It's going to release like the same time as House of the Dragon and Lord of the Rings. Why would you do that? You're just going to bury this thing. So stupid. I'm so disappointed in that. I mean, it's cool that we're getting it, but it's just like, why would you do that? I guess maybe their thought process was, well, last time they did it during the season. So like nobody watched it because everyone was just watching Wheel of Time. I think that makes to me a little bit more sense. Let me rephrase that. If House of the Dragon and Lord of the Rings weren't coming out, then I think it's fine to release it before it, because then you build hype for it.
Yeah.
And then they release it during the season, so maybe it gets buried. Maybe people don't watch it. Maybe people want to watch as much as they can. If those things weren't coming out, I'd say before the season is good, because then you can build hype for it.
Yeah.
But now I think it's just going to get buried. So it's unfortunate. Eventually, someday, I'll go through and I'll watch them all. But that's all we thought we were getting.
Yeah.
And then, because we didn't think we were going to get an official season 2 trailer.
Yeah.
And we still don't have a release date or anything, which is fine, because I think now that we're getting this, I think we are much closer than we really realize. So I'm really begging on like November, December is when this is coming out, after Lord of the Rings has had its sort of, once it's over, then it's the next thing will be Wheel of Time.
Right. Right.
But man, this trailer is actually way cooler than the first one, because the first one was just kind of set pieces and locations.
Right.
For those of you guys listening, we covered that as well. If you haven't seen it. This one is not only set pieces and locations, but we actually get to see like our main characters doing some stuff. You get to see some explosions, some, you know, some cool shots that probably won't be the shots that are actually in, like, you know, it's not like done with post-production and everything, but there are a few pretty cool just camera angles and stuff like that where you get to see like Rand walking through some fire. Mm-hmm. So this one's actually, it was way more than I thought we would get. And yeah. I was like, this is exciting. I think it's got some good music to it. This is making me feel good, actually, because we've been worried about season two.
Well, I actually hope that the music that we heard in this little behind the scenes, sort of like this season two trailer, is something that we're going to get in the season, because the energy that you felt, like, there were just times where the music felt, it just didn't feel as epic. It felt kind of odd and distant and I don't know. I know they were going for a different vibe depending on regions and intentionally trying to do something that stood out, that was different. But this, for some reason, whoever, you know, did like the score for this little 1 minute thing had me so hyped at moments where, like, I forget what they're called, but like in cinema, it's one of those things where, like, when a moment hits, when you do that transition and you cut scene and then boom, some like undertone, like a heavy note or something, like, mm-hmm. comes in underneath it, and it just adds a weight to that person slow-mo walking. When Rand is walking with the torch and it moves across his face, and it just like whatever tone is going on underneath that, just this epic boom. So if you guys haven't had a chance again to go see this, be sure you go check it out. I might actually even just play a little clip of that when we get to that here in a second. Maybe if we don't get her taken down, but we'll see. We're gonna click through it here in a second. But I honestly felt really good about it. I did a reaction to it, and it was an authentic, hadn't seen it at all, went in, just said, okay, click, watch, let's go. And I was blown away. I was really blown away. Just because of the energy and how good it looked. I mean, I felt like there were things that were absolutely stunning and beautiful in season one, but this feels, I don't know. It feels bigger. I didn't see any of, you know, we're not seeing anything with like CGI or anything done. So they just show those images. I mean, this is also stuff this is a camera behind the camera sort of showing us stuff too. So
exactly.
But man, it was good. It was really good. So I guess, yeah, we're just going to do like a little click through here for you guys and talk about things that we see. And again, if you're on YouTube, you'll see this as well. But starts off, I mean, big old freaking camera there. We get the idea this is behind the scenes thing. And straight up, I'm pretty sure the guy with the marker here, we're out on like the waist and we have Aiel. I'm pretty sure that's Avienda. Like,
oh, right, I think there. You're right. I think you're right. Yes, yeah. I think you're right.
So because she's looking at us, and these are like, I'm guessing, maidens of the spear. And she has that look. She's blurred, you know, in the current sort of their focus.
Their costuming feels spot on. Actually, it feels, well, it's one spot on because we already saw some Aiel, and we saw an Aiel warrior last time. But, you know, when you see him in the snow, it's kind of different than when you see him in the desert. And the desert just sort of adds the dirt and grime to their costumes, which really sort of makes it feel more authentic.
Right. This feels like something that they could blend into their surroundings here and camouflage really well and everything. So, and definitely looks like two maidens. They're standing with her and they're about to do some, I don't know what they're going to do. Are they like, the way this is set is they're about, looks like an action sequence where she's about to fight them, or they're about to talk to her, approach her about something. So that's kind of cool. Just thinking about that in the context of like where we're going to go this season and what we're going to see and what her story is going to be.
Right.
So yeah, pretty cool. Okay, let me click on here. Next up we get like Moraine and Lan just walking on the beach. So think coastal. This is Baldara. I mean, I don't know, right? I mean, is this wherever
is she going to investigate the Seanchan?
Yeah, the Seanchan. Did they come through here and she's checking in on it? Does she have her powers back? All that.
No,
kind of
I
stuff.
Don't think she does.
Yeah, we don't even know when this is. Is this like early on? I'm guessing a lot of this stuff we often think is nothing that's like, you know, mid season or even later. It's all early, first third or whatever, first maybe even episode. But she's walking down the beach here with Lan. He looks awesome as always, and look, she's got her blue kind of thing here. So a couple shots of that actually, which is really cool. And then we go back to this looks like the same setting that we saw the Aiel, right? The Maidens of the Spear.
And these are white cloaks.
Yeah.
Those are white cloaks in the desert. And you get that. It's so funny because we got the the same thing last time. Remember, we got like you see this car we're riding with all these horses. Yeah, so just, you know, it looks kind of funny the first time you see it. That rig is insane, too. You know,
it's insane. Like, first of all, who's driving that car?
He's driving. I don't know. What kind of car is that? I don't know. Some kind of SUV. But it's got this like enormous crane rig on the top of it. And so you can get like, that's so sick. Imagine being that guy. Like,
I know.
That's the car.
Yeah. Whoever that is in there, like shout out to them. That's
he's doing more work than the other guys.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy. He's putting his life
on
the line.
Catapult. You can see a catapult back there too.
Yeah. I wonder if that's a set piece, right? That's a set piece for their,
there's just a random catapult out in whatever desert they're in is.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, just
yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But for the white cloaks, as well, I was trying to finish my thought there for the for the white cloaks, or is that?
Do you think it's for them? Yeah,
I is feel that for like the IEL. You know, I'm like,
yeah, I just wonder why that's gonna be so different if the white cloaks just ride out to the desert to confront the IEL. Maybe they're hunting for Rand because they've heard about something he did.
Yeah, yeah. See, that's why I was like, I don't know where this. You know, I'm trying to think of other desert locations or. Or whatever, because maybe it's not. I mean, maybe they're somewhere else, and this is just
right.
Feels
because
like,
we saw the Aiel in the desert. Now we're in what's going to be a different spot.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, okay, cool. So we got that, and then got the guys in the smoke machines here. Looks pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff. Again, more kind of barren. I'm looking
right.
Just in the
there's more. There's far. Feet. It feels like there's more grass here, but it could just be like the color. You know, it's some of this stuff. It's not like super sharp images of the background because it's zooming in on like the cameras that it's showing.
But we got some camels over here, right? We got a couple of camels on the right hand side. So that's pretty cool. Let's see if we get anything else here. I'm just going to go inch by inch here.
And there's the giant. There's the giant like wheel we saw. And we saw that in the last production trailer as well.
Yeah,
and it's got like harnesses to tie somebody up to.
Yeah, what the heck? I mean, I just keep going back to the Aiel and this being just because of the waste. It just looks like the waste, and they have Tiron Greal out there. They, you know,
you think it's the Aiel that are doing this, not anybody, not the Forsaken or the.
Maybe I don't know. I wonder what people think. You know, like, well, like, what do people think this actually is?
This isn't anywhere in the books.
Not that I know of. I mean, I was even trying to think of like, I don't know, like how the portal stones looked. You know, the one in the waste or whatever. But there's really not like this is just a random feature out here. You know, it's like it looks like it's used for punishment or some sort of sacrifice thing. Or there's no blood or anything though, or no whatever. So I can't, unless it's like recently that they did that, or maybe that's just a part of them moving it out there or something. I don't know. You know, that could be they just didn't take the straps off.
Right.
So yeah. Okay. So moving on here, here we go. So this guy, he's got that white cloak like shoulder pad thing, right? It looks like didn't they have those. The white cloaks, didn't they have sort of like almost like a shield on their shoulder? I'm trying to remember, but he looks like he might be. He's got a lot of white on. I don't know, man. What do you think?
Right. I was trying to remember who everyone on Reddit was saying that he was.
He's got a big old axe here too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure if people know who that guy is and who he's been cast as, then that'd be kind of cool. But. Looks decked out. I mean, again, costuming is really cool because they show you like these these close up shots where the belts and everything and the ropes and the detail in the costuming looks really cool. All right, so let's click on through here. All right, now we get to the Shannarans. They're moving in. Looks like I don't know. I mean,
there's Uno
in the front. Yeah. Yeah. They're walking, sneaking, approaching up on someone it looks like he might be starting to sneak. And then the rest of them are just kind of like waiting to like walk into the shot or something. So yeah, pretty cool. And then here we go. Big one. We get this like waygate, kind of a tropical sort of waygate. location.
Yeah, and so where do you think that's taking us? Because I'm trying to think of what they're going to use as this sort of tropical setting, like where that is going to be.
Gosh, man. Yeah, I don't know. That's a great. So I'm thinking,
because there's definitely no sort of tropical place that we go to in the books, at least, like, you know, where we would be in season two. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like in like books 2, 3, or 4. Yeah. But I get their reasoning for doing it, because just to sort of change up the, which is kind of interesting. So that means that Rand Land, you know, itself is gonna be different than what we kind of mm-hmm. think it is from the books.
Yeah, it could be anywhere. I mean, anything, I guess, along the southern, like if there's a beach, like if you were to walk through this and on the other side of that is the beach that you see Moraine and Lan at, then it, some sort of coastal kingdom, I guess. Although I can just think of down south. I mean, like I can only think of the like sort of the southern kingdoms down there. So that's really about it. I mean, I don't think that's Tyr or anything, you know. I don't really know though. Let me think about other. I mean, Faldara was the other one. That seems like it's too far, kind of. Although things get hotter, I guess, kind of as you go north a little bit. It's like things are like the blight is up there. It's more just dead and stuff. I don't know that it's heat exactly. I've never really thought about the climate around the different regions. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So here on Twitter, on the Twitter thread, I was trying to pull this up here.
Yeah.
On Twitter, if you go back to the white cloak with the white hair, you don't necessarily have to on the thing. Just in general, we just had an image of him. For those of you guys watching on YouTube, those of you guys listening to the podcast, there was this white cloak we talked about just a few minutes ago. Mm-hmm. Some people are saying it could be Briar or perhaps Dane.
Bornhold. Oh, yeah. Dane Bornhold. Okay. Wow.
The other thing, and they're saying that he has the axe, is we haven't actually gotten into the idea of, for Perrin, the hammer and the axe yet. And so maybe that's how they.
Right. Right.
How they kind of teased it like a little bit.
Right.
With the white cloaks. Right. Or not with the Tinkers.
Yeah.
Last mm-hmm. season, they introduced that just a little bit. Another person was saying it's probably Gawain, who we might see towards the end of this trailer.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, okay. We can go check that out. Yeah. All right. Ah, that's interesting. Hadn't thought they were going to take us that far yet. Dane sounds cool, though. And the axe makes a lot of sense, too, that he'd have it for some reason. And
right.
Yeah, something to do with parents. So, okay. Real quick, just going back to this
tropical.
Tropical setting here and this waygate. I mean, you guys let us know. I don't know if there's anything like down near Amadicia, Tarbon, Ilion. You know, just something down there in the south or something coastal. It just feels like it's on the coast of one of these countries. So we'll see. We do know that that's sort of where we end up sort of heading in books, you know, 2 and 3 sort of. We either go book 2, we're going to Faldara, and then book 3, we're going down to Tyr and we're dealing with Ilion quite a bit. So if we're combining those, right, if it's sort of a marriage between those two books, it feels like those are the two nations we'd be at. So it just Waygate would be in a different spot than what we maybe had thought it was. So
now, yeah, actually back on that guy, some other people were saying it's Jeffrem Bornhold, the guy we actually saw in the last one, actually. And if you look at pictures of them,
mm-hmm.
it might be.
Okay.
It might actually be that exact same actor too.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, it's just it's a little harder to tell because his in season one, he has his hair kind of slicked back and he looks a little bit older.
Yeah.
But if his hair was blowing forward and and of course here he has a mask on. But if you kind of look at it if you look at him side by side, mm-hmm. yeah, I think it is just Jeffrem Bornhold.
Okay. Okay.
But nice. You could still do the axe and you could still have him and get involved.
Yeah.
In Perrin, so.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right, let's move past that. So we go back to the Waygate, and let's move right on past that. Here we go. Man, I haven't even had a chance. This is literally my first time just sort of looking at these.
Clicking through.
Yeah, clicking through and slowing down, because I'm now seeing like a little sigil over here on this place. All right, so let's click on through here. You can see what looks like a golden I mean, who's down here?
Yeah. Who's that guy standing out in the front? So for those of you guys listening on the podcast, we're in this sort of open city, which later we see like a big fight taking place. Or it's this like desert kind of entryway here.
Yeah, we might have
like,
to come back.
There's like one man standing in front, and then he's got soldiers behind him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we might have to come back to that.
Yeah, let's come back to that because see who's there, if there's anybody we know. But yeah, so just some more explosions. It looks like we got like a something blowing up in a little village or town. And here's the shot.
Oh, this is the best shot of the whole thing. Is Rand
the dragon just coming through here? The lighting is he's got like this orange glow. He's either walking through some fog or some mist, or
and he's holding a torch, which is also aiding right. to that.
Yeah, which is cool. I'm trying to figure out who's behind him. You know, is that like land back there?
It's hard to tell. It might actually just be like camera people.
Right.
There is somebody else with a torch, but beside that other person could be like a camera person or something.
Right. Right. Huh. Cause yeah, you got somebody outlined there. Tough. Looks like a guy over his left shoulder, or it was right. It would be his right shoulder, our left. Looks like land, yeah. But you know, I don't know. And then maybe more rains right there to the other side. Now, here we go back to the beach. And we do have now, hold on a second. Is that who's he?
That's Moraine.
That's Moraine. That's Moraine.
Yeah, that's Moraine and Lan.
Okay. Yeah, because here she has she just has her top on. She's got the blue top on there.
Right. Her like overcoat. Yeah.
Yeah. And then when you come back here, she's just
wearing her white shirt. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And then a little quick shot of Min.
Min.
So meditating, seeing symbols around everybody. Cool. Here we go. We got the back of the dragon. So we got Rand walking through a village. And these are just quick shots of everyone's back, and people are trying to like guess online as to who all these individuals are. You can, I guess the next one here with white hair and the, sort of the ponytail thing. No one has guessed this, right? As far as what I saw yesterday, maybe they have now, but like Rafe came out and said, this is 39 seconds. And as of yesterday, I haven't gone to check Twitter yet today. He said, no one's guessed it. And there was like a ton of guesses. So
yeah, I'm looking at Twitter on the side here on that post. And
yeah,
it seems as if nobody's guessed it either.
Yeah, there's a bunch of different things. Oh, and this is cool. So there's like this little almost like observation tower thing. We're out sort of not in a, it is kind of barren. It's kind of a, you know, desert-like, not really, but it's got like a dome over top of it. It's got like a fancy sort of dome, and it looks like you could, it almost looks like it's designed to be, seem like they're really high up.
Yeah, just, you know, yeah, because even though it itself is not, it does seem like, you know, with the way you, the CGI and the way you film everything, because now they only have to, you know, they only build like partial sets, right? You can do stuff with like miniatures and everything. So yeah, this seems like it's actually probably going to end up being a big tower.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, which is, it's pretty cool. Let me see if I missed anything. Is that it? This mysterious figure in
that's a Murdral.
Is it okay?
Yeah, because later you see a shot of one, up on the wall. He's been killed.
Right. And we did see Pot on Fane, his back there a second ago, walking through. Now here's another skirmish, a little fight in another city, and looks like we got some white cloaks, maybe, or some guys in white. I'm not sure if they're actually white cloaks or not, but two different factions there.
Yeah, it's kind of hard. A lot of the shots in this trailer are hard to tell exactly what's going on because they're very, you know, specific of using fading text. But I do think that is white cloaks in there.
Right. Just too many different, you know, individuals who are wearing predominantly white. And then, but yeah, because we know that there are a lot of skirmishes and things, and there's a lot of tension, a lot of chaos building, if you will. So, all right.
It's rising.
Yeah, it's rising. Next up, we have Egwene. So This is the tower, right? She's wearing white and she's back in the tower, it looks like. So what she got in her bag there, though, right? That's kind of interesting. She got something in her bag and looking up.
It's hard to tell. Looks golden, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's got some metallic. I don't know. Everyone's probably trying to get some clues here. Now, this is fun. People are looking at this. This is the like some training that's going on at the White Tower, right? So with the
And you see a spear and a and what looks like maybe a staff. So I think the guy on the right, I think that's Matt.
On the right, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And then on the left is that.
So this could be your Gawain, Galad. It could be other warders, perhaps. Maybe he's just down there training. Maybe he's already beat them pretty well, and then he's like again training them later on and showing them sort of what he knows a little bit with the quarterstaff, possibly. But yeah, you can definitely tell there's some training equipment there on the side, and then all the architecture looks like we're at the White Tower. So that is pretty awesome. Yeah, they go through some moves there, but that's cool. If that's Matt on the right, it looks like it could be. More explosions, right? We got more people just running.
See, now that explosion looks like it's taking place at a different. See, it's interesting because some of the villages they've shown us. Because I think they've shown us that everyone is like really far spread out.
Yeah.
So like we're seeing a lot of fighting, and it almost you could almost mistake it as it's like one place, but it's actually I think fighting taking place at a lot of different places.
Right. Yeah.
Because this village looks more similar to the one that Randall's walking through, which looked like it was not in like a desert city, but perhaps in like a woodland area or something. You know what I mean? Like it's definitely not like the desert.
Right. Yeah. So, and we haven't seen any Shanchen yet. So again, this could be like one of those things where it could be that the Shanchen is a cause of some of this stuff, you know, and
right
behind it, they're just not showing us that. And you get people running for their lives here. So I don't think we're almost at the end here. I don't remember if we did see any Shanchen or not. So next up,
I think that's Aiel fighting a white cloak.
Yeah. An Aiel fighting a white cloak. It looks like. Oh boy, we'll come back to that in just a second here because it's the jump, right? Yeah. It's almost like is that Avienda? You know what I'm saying? Like you got like the long hair. You look at the
ooh,
reddish
that should kind be. Of,
the reddish kind of hair there. Or a double, right? I mean whoever's a stunt double. But yeah, really cool looking shot there. Here we go. Oh, that's the guy with the axe. He's got an axe.
Yes.
That's a white cloak. I don't know if that's the same guy or if it's
that is the same guy then I don't I don't know, that's hard to tell. That could actually even be the stunt double of the guy.
Oh sure, very right yeah,
because it's you know because this isn't going to be the final,
because that looks like a real flip there. Yeah, I mean
right, yeah, these are actually those are probably the stunt doubles,
right? That's awesome. Okay, so now we have a fade, and I think one of the things they said in the captions for this trailer was that no fades or no merge draw were harmed in the making of this promotional piece, but clearly they're lying to us because this guy has been pinned up to the wall here. So something that Pot on Fane does, and we know in the Hunt for the Horn, that must be Perrin up there on the left, I'm guessing. Maybe it looks like his hair a little
maybe.
Bit.
Maybe. Yeah. The guy's kind of, I don't know.
Because I just, maybe. You know, you,
it's hard to you, tell, but yes.
You think about Ingtar, you know, kind of leading this group and they're chasing down the horn and everything. But yeah, because it's like we're not really, because again, Matt, they put him back in Tarvalen. Yeah. So Perrin is here. Rand is out doing his own thing. Seems like Moraine and maybe Lan are following after him. And Perrin's just out here trying to recover this horn. So that's cool. That gives us kind of an idea, I guess, a little bit of where people are. I mean, we kind of could have guessed that, but it's just nice to see it, I guess, confirmed here. Here we go. There's the guy. The dragon. The dragon reborn, friends. Rand. Just chilling up here. Got some nice pillows. Is he up in the loft? Is he staying up in somebody's loft or something? You know? Relaxing after, I don't know. Are they taking the intimacy up a notch this season? You know,
maybe it looks like he's reflecting on something. Though.
Yeah.
Like he's thinking.
Yeah, it does. Looks like there's maybe even a glow coming from looking at the walls there. And maybe he's in a tavern somewhere, just kind of on the run, doing a little work and trying to find a place to sleep and all that kind of stuff. That could be what he's up to. All right. And then we've got Lan training away here, looking like a boss,
not wearing a shirt.
Yeah,
on Twitter, we're going nuts.
Were they good? Yeah. And then we got the shot of a horse. I mean, these are all like less than a second shots of just someone on a horse riding through the forest. There, not sure who that is. Looks like a female. And then Pot on Fane.
Fane.
Yeah, looking
then
up
some sort of night battle.
Right.
I think.
Yeah, that.
So now that looks like, is that, it's either a big guy in armor, or that could even end up being like a, I don't know. It's hard to, so many of these final shots are, it's just so fast that right. like the shot you get isn't even clear. And then of course there's cameras and smoke and fog. So it's like really just sort of to show, hey, there's going to be a lot of action.
Yeah. 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 And they're dragged. This person's being dragged. And then you look at the guy laying here to the right. I mean, it's probably not Perrin, but it's just like, I keep seeing that hairstyle. Right. I'm thinking like, okay, who's that?
And then this final shot here. Well, not that one, but this one is one. A lot of people are trying to figure out who is that? Is that, I think that's going to be Shan Chan, right? She's got that mask on.
Yeah.
She's wearing this sort of golden mask with like a triangle.
Yep. Yep.
Design on it. And it lit, and then like some sort of gold spiral, some sort of gold, like arm, you know, shoulder plate that kind of stands up, but it looks like very exotic compared to everything we've seen, which I would imagine is going to be the Shan Chan.
Yeah.
The actress also seems, I'm just looking at her, I would say she's probably of Asian descent, which I think is something that they've kind of said they're going to do with the Shan Chan, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm trying to think of people around that time, like High Lady Suroth or something, or yeah, because we know like Leandrin sort of sets up this whole betrayal system with Suroth, and that would be your connection to the Shan Chan, maybe. But mm-hmm. I don't know, because again, we don't get the Empress or anything until much later and stuff. So this has got to be something. Yeah. I know someone was doing the, you know how they do like over on the Dusty Wheel, they do that great like unblurring or the unveiling or whatever. So
right.
Someone has sort of like tried to use computer imaging. I think there is a casting that just with known castings to say like, okay, whose face is that? And I'm sure they've actually already figured it out. I'll have to go over and watch that. But really cool. I mean, just a really cool shot and shows you that, yeah, we've got some Shan Chan like influence here and they're going to be making their way around. So. Yeah,
that's kind of cool. And that's about it.
Right.
And it just says season two. We don't get a date, but I would say the fact that we're getting this, first of all, their marketing is better than it was for season one, which I have been very adamant about that. I thought their marketing season one was absolutely awful.
Yeah.
So for starters, they're already doing a better job, way better job in season two with their marketing. I think it was cool that we got this, and I'm more excited than I was, which I'll say that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. This actually was really encouraging. Yeah. Really encouraging to see it. And just to see, like you said, there was a lot of different action shots and like war and just an uptick in chaos sort of building in the area. And that happens when the dragon is back, you know, Rand thinks he's done what he's got to do here at the end sort of. And he doesn't want to be around his friends to corrupt him. He'll go off and do his own thing. And then realize he's got to come back and rule, man. He's got to come back and actually take charge. So I feel like things are going to get pretty crazy. I mean, we know in books 2 and 3, the girls get captured. They get out. Matt goes and rescues them, or whichever, however you want to call that, right? They do they get themselves out, or did Matt actually get them out? But, you know, fun stuff like that will happen, and we're going to get, I'm guessing, the horn's in play. So Padawn Fain has the freaking horn. That's a big deal. I was so worried in the first season that they weren't going to do something with it. I'm just like, guys, the horn has to be there in the last battle. Like, we don't win this thing without the heroes of the horn. So those who fight for the light. So it was cool to see that. It's cool to see that they're kind of setting up that hunt for it as well. So we'll probably get Hunters of the Horn. You know, there's been talk about Fael and other things. I need to go actually look up and see who has been like casting updates, you know? For season two, because I'm sure there's everyone who's been cast for season two. But
yeah, so I would say I think the fact that we get this is good, that they did something beyond just the Wheel of Time animated little shorts origin thing that they're doing, which was the only thing they announced they were going to do at Comic-Con. So I'm really glad they dropped this during Comic-Con. I thought that was that's exactly what you should do. Then I would say I would expect the trailer sometime towards the end of Lord of the Rings, because I think that's your natural progression is as Lord of the Rings is winding down, Amazon can say, hey, here's our next big show. And chances are, if you like Lord of the Rings, you're much more, you know, you're likely to like Wheel of Time as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So I was just reading real quickly some of these things about, you know, casting or whatever. And again, you have news outlets like talking about like who's going to be in season two, and people are still discussing whether or not Loial is alive. And Rafe has said that he is. They even quoted him or whatever. Just like that's ridiculous that we have to still ask that question. You know, all this time. I mean, you know.
We didn't see Loial. We didn't see Nynaeve.
Right.
We didn't see some of the new characters. Like, we didn't see Elaine anywhere.
Yeah. And we might have seen, we think maybe that new actress for Avienda. So Avienda.
I think we did see Avienda. I did think we saw Matt, even though it was sort of like behind shot. We didn't see, I don't remember her name, but she was one of the people who we thought was perhaps going to be Faile.
Oh yeah,
it was like there was an actress that was cast that we were like, oh, I think she's going to be Faile, but I don't remember her name, nor did I think we saw her. So
no, we didn't see her. Yeah, and no Elaine or anything. So okay, cool. I mean, yeah, still a lot to look forward to, but more than we thought. You know, definitely more than we thought coming into this Comic-Con weekend, and was just sort of neat to see this, and again to get that. The music and the feel. I'm not going to play the music for you guys, but if you get a chance to go listen to that and just get into the feels of it, it feels really cool. It feels really epic and just like high energy. So yeah, we're definitely excited for it, and hope you guys are too. Because as Matt said before, I mean, I think you hope for like improvements upon season two. You hope that the show gets better. And I think for them, it's like they feel like it was the number one streamed show for like new show. I think it was the thing when it was new show, so that showed that it was very popular and did really well and was interesting, so they're looking to improve upon that, and I'm glad that it is going to be something that starts again. You'll have the House of the Dragon, Lord of the Rings fighting it out, Star Wars throwing something in there in the mix, and then when all that settles down, out will come Wheel of Time, hopefully.
Yeah. Hopefully. I think it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do think if Wheel of Time does come out in November, December, I think there's a Witcher like prequel show that they announced last year.
Okay.
I believe that is all indicators have seemed to be that it would be around that time as well, November, December.
Yeah.
Netflix, the way they normally announce everything is I'll look it up here, but it doesn't really matter. But then where they're like, it's kind of like they're like, they do like the Disney Investor Day where they're like, hey, here's everything that's coming out. Here you go. And
right.
They drop it all at once. Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't typically do things at events.
Right. Okay. Gotcha. That's cool. Well, and so, and if that's the thing, I mean, that feels like it's going to be able to do really well and have a pretty decent audience and stuff kind of coming out of those other shows, which is good. Cause I mean, I think sometimes it's not that a show could be bad or whatever. It's just something else that's more well known that has name brand that has whatever is on. And it just
eats it up.
Yeah. And then people would just forget to go back and watch it or whatever. It's the same thing we say about Solo, which we think is a really good Star Wars movie, but didn't get, you know, people didn't see it as much. And they're watching it now at home or whatever, but, it's, you know, they're not making all that money at the box office, if you will, on it. And so therefore, it's not that feather in your cap and you can't really whatever. So I don't know. I think this is a smart move for Amazon and for Wheel of Time. And they seem proud of it. I mean, did they say what? I always thought that season three was already kind of a thing, but they definitely said after.
Yeah, there was all the rumors and everything. There was nothing like ultra official, but then they did sort of say, hey, when they announced this, they also said season three is like greenlit.
Cool.
So I think there's a difference between ordering season three and like greenlighting season three.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, just seeing this too, it just feels really good. Feels like we remember they had all those issues with COVID, and then they probably had to do some weird stuff with the actor for Matt not coming back, and just tons of crazy things that are kind of, it's just not normal. It's also your first season. It's not like you're a new crew, new cast coming together. I don't think we really, and they still did.
Because, and we're in a, and I know over on our Game of Thrones podcast, we were talking about Lord of the Rings versus
House of Dragon.
House of the Dragon. Mm-hmm. And here, you know, it's going to be sort of like Wheel of Time versus The Witcher. I mean, the thing is that, yes, all of these things can exist in their own right. It's when something goes directly against the other thing that like sort of hurts it. But in the long run, it's a good thing that all of these things are coming about, because then it builds up fantasy, right? Yeah. I mean, yeah. you look at Hollywood in the last, you know, 15 years, it's all been superhero movies, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
But all these superhero movies keep getting made because more and more people want to watch superhero movies.
Yeah.
So as we begin to get this like big, hey, we're going to keep doing, you know, like Game of Thrones is so big that look at all the shows that came out just from that. Hey, Vikings. We can do something that's like a Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
People obviously like it. So they like it. So it's great that we're getting Lord of the Rings and House of the Dragon and Wheel of Time. Those other shows only actually in the long run benefit Wheel of Time because it's more likely to get people to get into fantasy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then jump into this. So it is all beneficial at the end of the day.
Yeah, which is cool. That's a really good point. People make more of like, okay, people are liking that superhero genre. Cool, let's make more of that. And so I think George R. R. Martin even said something when, you know, because people were trying to put words in his mouth that he was, again, like he was competing with Tolkien. And how does that feel to be competing with Tolkien? He's like, I'm not, like, I'm increasing the fantasy genre. Like, Tolkien inspired, I'm here because Tolkien inspired me as a young writer. And like, you know what I'm saying? Robert Jordan, same way, right? He inspired by Tolkien. And so wrote these stories and then they all get adapted. And then you go back, Lord of the Rings is out there years ago making masterpieces and now pushing all these other projects. It's just cool. And then Game of Thrones sets a new bar with TV and stuff and says, hey, you can actually do like full on series on this stuff. So now
we're in a weird position, and then we can close with this thought as do you think that with House of the Dragon and Lord of the Rings being adaptations of not direct source material, like, you know, like Game of Thrones was an adaptation of direct source material, obviously, until they ran out. Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, you have your direct books that you're adapting from.
Right.
So both House of the Dragon and the new Rings of Power show are adapting like the Appendices and the Silmarillion and Fire and Blood for Game of Thrones, which are all sort of like fake history books of the histories of these lands where there's not like complete direct sources, as opposed to Wheel of Time, which is adapting directly from books. The Witcher is as well, but it's adapting from sort of like short stories, so you can kind of piece it together like in a way however you want. But so Wheel of Time is doing, hey, we're adapting directly from the books. Do you think it's more beneficial to be on the side where you're going directly from books, or more beneficial to be on the side of House of the Dragon, Rings of Power, where you're adapting from these broad sort of outlines?
Yeah, that's a tough one because, you know, like you said with Game of Thrones, the exciting piece to that was it wasn't finished and we were still kind of adapting along the way and moving forward. And then like for Lord of the Rings, you know, it is finished and they just go out there and they make a masterpiece of it. And it just had such a, but also the crazy thing about Lord of the Rings back in the day was that it had a big, you know, book following, but most of the people on my podcast, Up Talking Tolkien, that write in, they had never heard of it until like that. No one really, you know, it brought people back into the books and sales went up and stuff. I would say that, you know, Wheel of Time, it has this opportunity to adapt it, show us something that we love. See, the crazy thing with Wheel of Time is that there is so much that we all know you got to cut, you got to move stuff around, but it can show you something that we had never seen before. And it can then show you things that weren't in the books that also we know are there, but they're not on page. They're just off the page. They're referenced or whatever. So I kind of think they both have their advantages and disadvantages, because right now it's sort of, you don't have to go, you get more people complaining actually about like the Wheel of Time adaptation, right? Versus people who you won't get as much complaining, I feel like, from House of the Dragon, or it's weird because then you look at Lord of the Rings and people are super complaining depending on the fandom, right? In House of the Dragon, we have an outline, and it's built that way. Plenty of room to fill in gaps and tell a good TV show or whatever. And it's almost more, I don't know, George is also more of a partner involved with that, still active in it. Whereas like then Lord of the Rings has, it's just pulling from the appendices and they actually have to make up and fill in gaps. And people are like, we hate this. How dare you, can never do anything outside of what Tolkien did. So it's like a different type of fandom. I feel like for the creator, it's easier when you don't have, you have bullet points and you can then build a surprise and like surprise people or whatever. Whereas like with Wheel of Time, when they do a surprise, people are like, now hold on a second. Right. Like that didn't happen in the book. So it's a double-edged sword, actually, you know, on, I feel like on both fronts. I don't know what would be easier.
What's easier?
Or what's even better, you know, for a, it could, because look at the difference in fan, like just, it was a great example, like Rings of Power and House of the Dragon. You have, again, like you said, these histories, Second Age, and then this pre sort of Robert's Rebellion in House of the Dragon back in the Dance of Dragons. And it's like, there's nothing there, really. There's just an outline. There's just a few different things. Over here in Westeros, people are like, let's go. Like they're all excited right. for it or whatever. And there's also George is on board. And then you've got people over on the other side who are like, if it's not exactly a one-to-one adaptation of exactly what Tolkien said and you embellish anything, then it's right. blasphemy. So it's weird. It's a weird
yeah.
thing. You know, what do you think?
Yeah. Well, it is an interesting dilemma because ultimately the guys who have it the best, I think, are the comic book people, because there you have direct source material, but it's been rewritten so many times with like different origin stories that you can kind of be like, well, I like this and this and this, and you just get to pick and choose.
Yeah.
And people are more okay with it being not the way it goes in the comics because, well, there's like 50 different versions of the same story. So yeah. You have that advantage of being like, well, I'm going to do this and this and this and mix up this and do it how you want.
Right.
Game of Thrones was interesting because they had most of the story, but not all of the story. And people were upset at the end because the ending that they decided to go with was even something that I think is an obviously a way that it's not going to end. Right.
Yeah.
But it also made it exciting because we didn't know.
Yeah.
We didn't know. So I feel like that is ultimately the best way to have it. But,
yeah,
you know, it's hard because you don't know. Like if we had gotten the Harry Potter movies, if the movies had been ahead of the books.
Yeah.
People would be like so much more excited because like what's going to happen?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
they've been freaking out.
We don't know. I do think in a way it's an advantage for Wheel of Time because, you know, that you just have to cut so much out. Yeah. And I think that because of the fact that we know there's just no way, like there's no way to do Wheel of Time. You would have to have 14 seasons and do a book a season. And that's still not even enough.
I know. Yeah, I know. Right. I mean, that's
to really try and capture the true story.
Yeah. So there's so many surprise when they move stuff around. The big surprise is like, whoa, that's in here. Like we didn't know you were going to do this thing this early, or that you were going to give that plot point to this character. That's what they're doing too, is moving some plot points around that it should have been this guy. There's things that Matt is going to do or that Perrin is going to do that some other hero did that they did not do in the books. And we're going to be like, what the heck? And that's could be cool. Yeah. Could be, you know,
the hype of season one was wondering, are they going to change who the dragon is?
I know the whole time. I mean, like, first of all, even though I never, you know, cause you're like Lan safe, right? We know Lan is safe. No, he wasn't. Like they were like, no, he actually was. And legitimately, In now the TV verse, he was not safe. And Nynaeve actually healed him. So then you get in that great debate, which is what George has often said with Game of Thrones and A Song of Ice and Fire, is which ending do you like better now? Which version do you like better? Let that be the TV verse and this be the book verse. It's very nice that he's alive and he's saying that sort of stuff. I wish, honestly, that, you know, Robert Jordan was able to kind of come out and say, like, hey, guys, they're going to do stuff different. And it's going to be its own thing because... That's a totally different way for Nynaeve and Lan's relationship to go, where she like saved him, you know, and like healed him. I mean,
yeah, it was cool the first time. The second time when they tried to kill Moraine, she goes, and then it's like, okay, like we've, and like, you know, Moraine almost dies and Nynaeve, and I was like, okay, all right, now we're
overkill.
It's like, okay, literally overkill.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for me, the most exciting thing right now in comparison, I guess, is that with Wheel of Time, at least, it's like, man, what are they going to keep and what aren't they? And how are they gonna move it around? Like, I find that generally sort of exciting.
Yeah.
And I'm glad they haven't said like, oh, this is a 5-year plan. This is a 5-season plan, or this is a 6-season plan. Cause then it's like, what are they, you know, it keeps that allure alive. And people can go read the books, which is sort of advantageous, I guess. But then on the other side, the Lord of the Rings, House of the Dragon side of the coin, you aren't going to have those people saying like, well, that's not how it happens in the books, because there is no way it happens in the books.
Right. Yeah, exactly. There's room for that to kind of be there or whatever. So it's crazy. The thing that I always do, I when we were doing season one, like to remember everything that happens in 14 books and to think about this world, unless you're somebody who's like literally, and some people have, right? They read it every year on the annual, which is great. But it's so, even me, someone who I've read it numerous times, it's like, oh yeah, like that's what that is. That's what that, because I'm even looking at that tower trying to think back to what tower that is, you know, like that they're going to be, is that just the tower that Ran has the inventors, he starts to have this academy and these inventors start working on stuff. It looks like that type of facility, but I'm sitting here thinking, I don't know, you know, it's stuff like that, that when you see that and you go, there's so many things that could be in the books that it's still intriguing and interesting.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
It's cool though.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, hey, a fun little trailer we were not expecting. So right. It's certainly nice to get that. So as always, thank you guys for watching. Those of you guys watching on YouTube, thank you guys for listening. We will be back with our reread. Maybe we'll get through this next book before season two, which I think is going to be November or something. So, but yeah. It's nice that we're getting a little bit more here. And who knows, maybe I'll try to squeeze in that animated show during so much stuff.
Yeah.
So much stuff. But I think there's shorts like because I watched like one of the ones from season one and it was like 5 minutes or something.
So is that what they were talking? Just real quick before that's what they're talking about.
I think it's the same thing. Yeah.
So they've already released those.
For season one, yes, there's these sort of like legends.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. But there's nothing new for season two, right?
They're doing another like thing up for it.
Oh, they're, but
it's called Wheel of Time Origins is what it's called.
But are they releasing them before the season or during the season? Oh, before.
No, it's getting released in like August.
Wow. Okay. So see, I missed that. You were talking earlier at the beginning of the podcast, and I was like trying to search and pull up the trailer at the same time. I was like, wait a second, they're not. Okay. So all right. Well, hey. That's actually pretty cool. We can pop on for 10 minutes and midweek or something and talk about those. We'll see. We'll see.
The problem is it's coming Andor, at the same time. Andor, Lord of the Rings, and House of the Dragon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So sorry, we might just do them all in one big batch right before the season starts. You know.
Yeah, maybe we'll do dedicated like 5 minute YouTube episodes going over it, and then we'll do like one big podcast at the end.
That's good. Yeah. Yeah.
It's awesome. Awesome. All right, guys. Well, hey, with that, as always, remember that the grave is no bar to our call.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.